The question today is, what is soteriology? I had that question asked to me one day when someone saw the tapes that we had, because we were dealing with the doctrine of soteriology. And he said, I've been to Bible college and I hadn't heard that name mentioned, that word even mentioned in Bible college. Well, in some colleges it's not mentioned. In fact, most colleges it's not mentioned. And really that's really a theological word, more than, but it deals with salvation. Really, the word itself, soteriology, comes from two words, soter, which is the basic word for health, and ology, which is a knowledge or a study of. Therefore, the soteriology is the study of the spiritual health of mankind, and it deals with salvation. That's what it deals with. In fact, Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, when it talks about the Lord Jesus, he said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. And so therefore, that's not talking about physical healing. That's talking about spiritual healing. You realize something? Jesus would never have had the left glory and be born through a virgin's womb to heal men of their physical conditions. He had to do that to heal men spiritually. Thus, soteriology. Now, the word Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, whenever the angel was talking to Joseph about his spouse wife Mary being with child, and said in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word save is sotso, which means to rescue from danger. It also means to make whole, but it means to heal. But it's talking about healing spiritually, not physically. Now, why do we study the doctrine of soteriology? Why do we study it? 2 Timothy 3:15, we find this. It talks, as Paul writes to Timothy, and he said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in which is in Jesus Christ. So it's referring to spiritual health, as he's able to be wise unto salvation. Theology is the most important study. That's what man says that, and that is probably true, because that's the study of, about God, or the knowledge of God. But soteriology is the next most important subject we need to study. And it's left out by many, even if we have if people have that course in their colleges, most of them are not right in their doctrine of soteriology. So it's really a controversial subject, soteriology. And folks, I want to tell you, there's ditches on both sides of the road. Many today practice what we call easy believism. All you got to do is say a prayer. If you prayed the prayer, you're saved. That's not so. That's a ditch. Then there's a ditch of fatalism. In other words, God says, they say that God says some to hell and some to heaven, and chooses any, many, mighty, mole. That's a ditch on the other side of the road. Some talk about the man has a free will. That's a ditch. And other talks about he's just a robot or a puppet, and he's going to be dragged into heaven. That's not so. You've got to get in the middle of the road in the doctrine of soteriology, or in salvation. And that's where God stands. That's liberty. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 5:32 and 33, ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. That was in the middle of the road. Now, in politics, to be in the middle of the road, you're a compromiser. But in the doctrine of soteriology and the things of God, you need to get in the middle of the road in liberty and stay out of the ditch. So, any truth carried to extremes becomes error. It becomes ditch. And you remember that. You've got to find the middle of the road. Now, the doctrine of soteriology, or what is soteriology, it deals, first of all, with man's fall. Now, I'm just going to sort of hit the high points in some of these places, because we have 23 messages on this subject. We're going to try to develop it into a book, like a course for a Bible Theological Institute. We're going to have a book. We're going to have tapes. We're going to have CDs in the future. Don't have them ready right now, but we will have in the near future. And so you can write and ask for all of these if you'd like to have that. So we'll just hit the high points. Because the soteriology deals with man's fall. First, it deals that from which he fell. He fell from the state of perfection, because he was made fresh from the hand of God and in God's image. Now remember, Adam was made in the image of God, but every man born to Adam was made in the image of Adam. So therefore, God made him in the image of himself, which was a Trinity, a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and therefore man is a spirit, soul, and body. Now, he had a perfect environment that he fell from. Somebody said, oh, if we just had a better environment for our children today, things would be a lot better for them. Adam had the perfect environment, the Garden of Eden, and he fell from that. It deals not only with that from which man fell, but the condition to which he fell. In other words, he's dead. Man that fell in Adam, and every man after Adam is dead. There's no consciousness toward God. We're dead in the sphere of sin. We're lost. When we reach the knowledge of accountability, we're lost. That means we're separated from God. No longer safe, but lost. We're influenced to the point of control by three things. That's the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're alienated. That's similar to being lost. It means alienated means to be shut out from one's fellowship and intimacy. We're stranger to. We're strange. We're without strength. That means we're weak for good. We're ungodly. That means we're strong for evil. We're sinners. That means we've actively engaged in sin by choice against the whole holy God. And therefore, we're enemies of God. And we're blind by the God of this world. We've deceived. Our heart's deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're depraved. We're corrupted to the core. We're condemned under the judgment of God. And the sad thing about it, most people do not know that. And another sad thing is that most of the saved do not care. But the reason we've got too many people that's not saved, the real saved, probably do care, but not as much as we should. And I know it sounds hopeless, but every time God paints a bad picture, He also gives a good picture. Because He said in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. And then Romans 2:4, He said, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You see, it's the purpose of God to save His people from their sin. Matthew 1:21 says that. Luke 19:10 said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So we see then, that's the condition to which man fell. That's in soteriology. We see the explanation of the fall. Really, we cannot fully explain it because we don't have a direct biblical revelation for the reason of the fall. But we can know the cause of the fall. In other words, that's dealing with the things that actually took place to bring the fall about. Found in the book of Genesis, we see that. Then we see the result of man's fall. The entire human race fell in Adam. The immediate effects which came upon the human race, of course, was a spiritual death, the corrupted nature, and the judicial guilt before a holy God. The long-range effects upon the human race was that without Christ, one will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Then we see not only the results, but we see the state of man after the fall. He's totally depraved. And that's the reason why we need to study the doctrine of soteriology, because you see, man has responsibility after the fall. Even though he's influenced to the point of control by the flesh, the world, and the devil, he's bound. He needs the Lord's Holy Spirit to come and do a work in him. And then, of course, involved in the study of soteriology is the moral nature of man. And it deals with the conscience and the intellect and the will of man. And we'll study about that from time to time. I'm just hitting the high points of this. So we see, what is soteriology? It's the study of the spiritual health of mankind. And it deals with man's fall. But it also deals with the means and action of God delivering man from the fall. So in that, we'll first look at God's work for fallen man. In other words, as we think about God's work for fallen man, that's God's plan of redemption. I want to tell you something. Jesus was no afterthought. The devil tried to throw a monkey wrench in God's plan in every dispensation. Now, dispensations are man-made. And I want to insert here that men are not saved seven different ways or eight different ways, as man divides sometimes into seven or eight dispensations. I know there's natural divisions of time. And it's all right to use that. But I want to tell you, the Old Testament saints look to the cross. We look back to the cross on this side. All are saved by grace through faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, these things that we talk about, how the devil tried to throw a monkey wrench in God's plan in every dispensation. For instance, there's the period of innocence in the garden. The devil tempted Eve, and Eve told Adam, and Adam went in with his eyes open and sin, and he fell from innocence. And then, of course, we have 1,656 years of time from Adam to the flood. What we know is that man's designated as conscience. And there we find that Cain killed Abel, but the seed was to come through Seth. You see, the devil tried to corrupt mankind almost to the point of extinction in those 1,656 years, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and built an ark and did what God said, and therefore the Shem was preserved through which the lineage came. Then we said it, see, after he got off the ark, the human government is 427 years long as the time, and that's when Noah got drunk, planted a vineyard, got drunk, and Ham's son was cursed, and not Shem's son, the devil trying to throw a monkey wrench. See, men then tried to build a tower to heaven, tried to, but God had a plan, and it would not become null and void. In other words, he had a remnant who transversed time of the Old Testament, even 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, when he didn't give up on the revelation, in other words. And then, of course, we got the law, which came into being after that time, and that law was, of course, amounted to about 1,490 years, I believe it is, of the time. And during that, but listen, Jesus is no afterthought. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 said, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." In other words, Jesus was not 1 minute early or 1 minute late. Now, you see, realize something. Many in the Old Testament time looked for the Messiah, the Anointed One. He looked for Him to come, but they were looking for someone to come riding a white horse to conquer and to free all from the Roman hand. But God's plan for fallen man had already been completed in eternity past. In other words, it wasn't going to be changed. And Jesus came forth born of a virgin and went to the cross of Calvary. And He's God's redemptive plan. It's no afterthought. Somebody said, well, man messed up in the garden and God had to come up with another plan. It's messed up in the period of conscience and God had to come up with another plan. It messed up in the period of human government and God had to come up with another plan. Messed up in the period of promise. And that's, I think I left that out a while ago, in the time of 430 years of the promise there between Abraham and law when it was given. But I want to tell you, the devil tried to throw a monkey wrench, but they could not alter God's plan because it was already settled in eternity past, and Jesus came forth right on time. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.